Why today?
The California wildfires, now 28% contained, for whatever that means. Still over 140,000 acres have burned so far. They say the cause is human. We'll dive into that on America Tonight. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, thrilled as always to be the captain of your ship as we sail in some interesting waters. Nancy Garrido's lawyer claims she's getting hammered by the media, and he says it's horrendous what's happening. Give me a break. She lived with a man who kidnapped an 11-year-old for 18 years, raping her and fathering two kids. What would you do if a stranger slapped your kid? Your kid starts crying. You're in a store somewhere, and someone comes up and wallops them. I won't even tell you what I would do. We'd have to shut down this radio show. Honestly. Now, wonder why Medicare is going broke? Wait till we tell you what they pay for wheelchairs. 4 times the price. How ridiculous. And I happened to see this on ESPN. They were taking a poll of what is the biggest football game of the year, pros and college. Is it the Vikings or the Packers? We've talked a ton about that. That game is on November 1st. Is it USC at Ohio State? Always a big game. September 12th for that one. Back to the pros. Patriots at the Colts. That's November 15th. I wouldn't put that one on the list. The Red River Shootout, Oklahoma versus Texas. I've been to a ton of those. They're really fun, but I don't think that's the biggest game. October 17th. Florida at LSU. Now, this could be a big game October 10th, but I'm still going to go with the Vikings. They could be the Vikings. The Vikings at the Packers and Brett Favre's return to Lambeau Field November 1st as the biggest football game of the year. Ticket broker, Easy Ticket. Mike joins us at the top of the show on Hump Day on Wednesdays. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kate. How are you doing?
You know what? Those are the kind of questions that you have to ask yourself because, you know, when you're trying to prognosticate and look at football games, and we've talked about this, and figure out outside the Texas boundaries especially what people want to see, that's what you're doing. You're looking to try to figure out, you know, where you're going to get your best bang for your buck, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm with you, that Viking-Green Bay game, I mean, that's going to be awesome. And a lot of the Green Bay people are going to be glad to see Brett Favre back, but not in that capacity. So.
Yeah, no kidding. And the jersey, you know, it's interesting. The Brett Favre jersey is number 4 on NFL.com. It's Michael Vick is number 4 on NFL.com. Brett Favre's jersey is number 1. There are a lot of people that bought the new Vikings jersey. So there, you know, it just shows you the whole power of the Favre thing and the not making up his mind and then coming to Minnesota. I think it's definitely one of the bigger storylines, certainly on the season. Hey, preseason almost over. Thank goodness. Aren't you glad that it's, pretty much toast?
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, preseason, I mean, it doesn't mean a whole lot. When I was looking at the right now, the Arizona Cardinals are 0-3. They were the runners up in the last year's Super Bowl, so you know that's saying something. And in Miami, they're 3-0 now in preseason, and I'm not, you know, the Dolphins fans are looking for them to do something, but they're not buying tickets.
Yeah, no kidding. See, that's how they are in Miami too. If they're winning or they have a decent shot, It's just like the hoop team there. But if not, people are not interested. And I think it varies from place to place, Mike. You know, growing up in Philadelphia, if the Eagles are terrible, people still want to go to the game, and it's not easy to get season tickets. With the Giants, it's the same thing. Even though they have to pay for these ridiculous seat licenses and whatnot with the new stadium, they still have a lot of people that want to get the tickets. The Redskins the same way. I think there's just certain franchises where people, no matter what, will come, even if they go out there and they're booing them, right?
Yeah, they're, they're loyal, diehard fans. And in a lot of cities, in some of these cities, they just, you know, the owners, they're looking for a reason to leave and go to a city where they are appreciated. And that's, you know, that's what's happened with some of the franchise over the years.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And it's interesting because the Cowboys are America's team. They're the team people either love to hate or they love them, no matter where it is in the country, whether it's back east or in the Midwest or the West Coast. There's fans all over the place. And a lot of people curious about the $1 billion stadium, actually over $1 billion. And, Mike, I went out there for this last preseason game against San Francisco. I was in a suite, so it was really strange. I looked around, and I'll tell everybody listening, most of the people were watching the 60-foot screen, the HD screen. They weren't even looking at the field because it was so incredible, the view. Nobody really looked at the players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I mean, that thing is an enormous thing. And you know, Jerry Jones, he got a reprieve. He didn't have to move the thing this last week, and NFL ruled in his favor on it. So, but it's a, you know, it's a token there for the whole team, and to be able to show off what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. And the punters, for people who don't know the story, what Mike is saying, the punters were complaining because some of the punts were getting hung up on the screen. So it'll be an interesting season, and that'll be something, as far as the punters are concerned and the return teams, that they'll be talking about, I think, week in and week out. Hey, college football kicks off tomorrow. College football is exciting. There's no doubt about it. And people bleed pride for their hometown team, even if they didn't go to that school. And, you know, you could make the argument that as big as the pros are and how many people watch on Sunday, boy, I'll tell you, there is nothing like being in the middle of a big school college Saturday football game. And I'm sure you have tons of tickets to some of those big games we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. There's there's a big game this Saturday. It's number 5 Alabama and number 7 Virginia Tech. I'm looking for... Actually, in that game, I'm looking for Virginia Tech. They're at home, and I'm looking for them possibly to upset Alabama this week. So.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's going to be a fun one to watch. And, of course, now we're getting closer to the nitty-gritty in baseball, too. You know, pretty soon we turn the corner. Before you know it, we'll be talking about playoffs, and things are heating up, right?
Yeah, there's only about another month in the regular season now. It'll end October 4th. That's on a Sunday, is the last regular season game. But, you know, it's the playoffs are shaping up right now. You know, I'm looking for the Yankees. I mean, they're strong right now in the American League. And the Dodgers, they're holding their own. They're 5 games up on Colorado right now. They look like, you know, they're probably going to coast in and win their division. So in the series, I'm still looking for it to be the Dodgers and the Yankees, but they've got some strong teams out of Detroit. You know, the Phillies are looking really good this year.
Oh yeah, they are, absolutely.
And the Rangers, they won tonight. They might be able to get in on a wild card if they can pull up a few games on Boston. Boston, they look like they're going to be the wild card in the AL, and it's anybody's game in the National League. But it looks like it'll probably, possibly be Colorado, and maybe San Francisco is the wild card out of the National League.
Yeah, National League's a lot tougher. All right, Mike, we'll see you next week. Just a reminder, you can go to easy-ticket.com. easy-ticket.com and get tickets to some of the things that we were obviously talking about, including Metallica's out on tour, Kiss is touring, we've mentioned this before, Britney Spears is on tour. Boy, a lot of people still go and see Britney Spears. She does have a way to draw the crowds in. For something completely different, stay tuned. We're talking about trauma units next on America Tonight.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's AirAndAqua.com. www.uaaqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AaronAqua.com. Purify your life today.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're traveling down a different road right now. Scary statistic here. Did you know that trauma accounts for 37 million emergency department visits and 2.6 million hospital admissions across the nation? And here is the really depressing number. More than 170,000 of these trauma victims die every single year. So that makes it, of course, the leading cause of death for Americans under the age of 44. Sadly, I know some people who were part of that awful statistic, and it's really tough for the people left behind, certainly, and I'm sure the people working on them as well. There is a big trauma symposium underway in San Antonio, just actually wrapping up, and I can imagine some of the interesting things that came out of, I think, this big gathering of folks who know the ins and out of trauma and improvements and all that kind of stuff. So Sharon Smith, the executive director for the National Trauma Institute, joins us now on America Tonight. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, those numbers are scary that I read off, and I know you know them, obviously, and I think what somebody told me the other day, and you can attest to this more than I can, that the numbers that I mentioned that may be even a little bit larger than that are at really super epidemic levels in the United States. You're talking about car accidents, you're talking about shooting, stabbings, all that kind of stuff. So that means you need more people, I would assume, right, to go into the business of treating people in those trauma centers and those units and whatnot, right?
Yes, that's right. And yet there are fewer people entering the field of trauma care every year, fewer trauma surgeons, and at a time when the deaths due to trauma are growing from year to year.
Yeah, what do you attribute that to? Is it the hard hours, the what you have to go through to be certified, all that kind of stuff, or what do you think it is?
Sure, all of those things. It's a tough life. The people that are committed to taking care of trauma patients, you know, spend their lives and spend lots of nights of their lives in the hospital taking care of those folks. Car wrecks, of course, account for better than 60% of all of the deaths due to trauma. And, you know, those happen, you know, all hours of the day, all around the country.
Yeah, and what about as far as some, and as I said, I'm assuming, because I know you had so many people there, I'm assuming you were talking also about the people that are in the business, some new techniques and some of the things that are happening. Tell us about some of the new things happening in trauma.
One of the things that I think people would find interesting is that the use of tourniquets is becoming understood once again to be very helpful in saving lives. Tourniquets to stop hemorrhage, you know, loss of blood, were very much in use 50 years ago, and then there were several decades where no one wanted to use tourniquets anymore, and it was assumed to believe that that could cause death or cause, you know, harm to limbs and loss of limbs more often than it saved lives. But lots of studies and a lot of literature has finally proven again that, in fact, tourniquets are in use. In fact, all of the soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan carry tourniquets with them. And that use in the military has kind of spread back over into the civilian side. That's one of the things that we understand, and what we do very much of at the symposium is make sure that the expertise and the information and the new advances and discoveries in trauma care that are discovered on the military side because of the war and the care of the wounded cross over and are useful then on the civilian side, and, of course, vice versa. So whatever we learn on one side is just as important for the other side to know about.
Yeah, Sharon, how helpful would it be? You struck an interesting chord with me there. The soldiers have the tourniquets with them. I mean, every soldier. So if I'm a soldier, I have it. How helpful would it be for the everyday Joe like myself to know something like that? Because who knows? What if I can assist somebody at an accident site because no one's nearby? It would probably be wise for all of us to know something about trauma,
sure,
right?
Sure. You know, almost all of us don't know at all what we should know about just common first aid. It's not going to happen very often that most of us need to apply a tourniquet, but you're right, just like we should know CPR and we should know other, you know, first aid techniques, it would be helpful for us to know those things. It doesn't come up very often, but, you know, it's that, you know, every now and then, once in a million chance that it really could save someone's life.
Yeah, no kidding. So you had, it was interesting, your symposium this time around focused on mass casualty response.
Uh-huh.
And that means both, I guess, civilian-wise and also military-wise.
Right.
So how do you respond if it's domestically? What were the things that came out of that as far as a mass casualty? Like, let's say, hopefully we never, ever have another attack like 9/11, but obviously that was a situation where people were all of a sudden sprung into action. And, of course, earthquakes and other things that happen where,
sure,
people are trapped. And, I mean, we have a zillion examples of those, obviously. So what came out of the symposium on that front?
Well, as you say, you know, there are natural disasters are even, sadly, you know, more common than the man-made disasters. We had a couple of folks here with us who are the doctors who run the mass casualty response system in the country of Israel, which, unfortunately, you know, has a terrible amount of experience in dealing with,
sure,
mass casualties. Very helpful to us. So these are people who have had, of course, have had to respond to so many mass casualties and, you know, disasters that they actually have compiled a lot of literature and data about the response of hospital personnel. A lot of what they talk about is, in fact, most of what we spent a whole half day with those guys talking about is what hospitals and healthcare professionals have to do and how to respond. In fact, it was very interesting how they need to respond in a human way, that at the time a disaster rolls in, and, you know, what often happens to them is, if they cited experience, they find out, they're told that maybe 3 people are going to come, but in fact 45 people come. They cited instances where a new victim is arriving every 30 seconds, and they are so experienced with this that they were trying to get this across to the Americans, is that there's a response that healthcare providers need to make, which is to basically shut down your human reactions and just, you know, start taking care of the problem. The kind of literature that they shared with us was incredibly revealing to the audience. In fact, there was an audience response system that we used where, you know, people are allowed to, the presenters would ask questions and the people could, attendees at the symposium could give their response on little handheld, you know, calculator type little things. And almost invariably, the questions, the responses to the questions that were asked were wrong. You know, that the human, what you think you should do in case of a disaster is wrong. You know, they were trying to teach us how to not follow your instinct. The that there are life-saving things you can do, but the human reaction is to panic first, even in healthcare providers who are supposed to be used to these things. And they talked about, you know, the loss of life that they experience because the healthcare providers are not ready to whip into action as fast as you have to. So it was really a fascinating thing to see, and a sad thing to see in a country that's had to become so accustomed to this that they've become experts at responding to mass casualties, which we have yet in this country to really see. You know, we
right.
don't experience the kind of losses due to earthquakes and tsunamis and floods
sure.
and all the other things. I mean, Katrina being a terrible example of one of the few times Katrina and 9/11 are such standouts.
Well, they had to do that. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We just have a couple of minutes left, but why, you know, what's the average length of time someone devotes to trauma? Because it's a high burnout rate, I'm sure. And what's the average age?
You know, that's kind of a tough question, but I would say generally trauma surgeons are on the younger side or in their 30s and 40s. And, of course, you know, plenty who are in their 50s. The sad thing is that about that time when they get really tired out and want to perhaps go into private practice or do something else is when they have become the most experienced and are the most valuable.
Yeah.
Many do stay on throughout their careers, but it's a common thing that after a trauma surgeon has spent 10 or 15 years doing this, he's ready. You know, he's got a family, he's got other things to be doing, and he's got to make some other decisions there. So it's not the most common thing to see older trauma surgeons. Yet here in San Antonio, Texas, we actually have some trauma surgeons who are still practicing in their 70s and 80s. You know, once they're committed for life sometimes.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good for the people in San Antonio. Great to have that experience.
Yeah, it sure is.
Sharon, thanks so much for sharing with us. It's sure. interesting that people from these places coming in, helping, and hopefully providing some great information. And you gave us some great information, so thank you.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you.
All right. And listening to Sharon, too, it's just a good reminder how many people listening to my voice even know first aid. It's funny. I have a first aid kit in my car because I got it as a – I think I had it as a present for my mother, and I've got a first aid kit in my place. But what do I really know about first aid? I never took a first aid class. I knew how to do a tourniquet, surprisingly, but – as Sharon said, probably the need for me to do that would be rare, but the other basics, I don't know that I necessarily have learned over the years. Probably a good time for a lot of us to take first aid. Coming up on the flip side, what happened today? Big news out of Washington. Obama taking over the airwaves on the 9th. We'll give you the skinny here on ATN.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious tasting chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
You're listening to GCN. Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit purebulk.com. That's purebulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now, 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
Wow. All I can say is wow. Times are changing fast. Scary needles. Laws changing until pretty soon. It'll be against the law to grow a tomato plant. How does this fit into healthcare? I'm not sure. But I am sure that Life Change Tea will give attention to your health. Good health. Join the many that have made the change just by drinking our all-natural tea. Lose weight, detoxify, and get energy. Call now at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. It doesn't come any easier. Getthetea.com. Oh, yeah, and right now is our semi-annual special underway. It won't last long, so order now. Why you still can. Order at getthetea.com.
Questions and not a lot of answers. Really, what is next for healthcare reform? Is it going to be insurance and tort reform? Is that what's going to happen? Is it going to be this public option somehow is rammed through without the Republicans on board, wading through the outrageous lingo in that one bill? I'm saying if I had to put money down on healthcare reform and whether or not there would actually be a bill that was formed that was passed before Christmas, I'm going to say no, unless there's absolutely nothing bipartisan about it. That's why it's interesting that President Obama now is going to address Congress on September 9th. And this is going to be televised, obviously. So, this will be a big speech for Obama, a huge speech, in fact. Second speech to the full legislature since he took office in January. And with the tug of war in August, which a lot of people feel that the Republicans won, and this being his top priority, I'll be curious as to what's going to be laid out. Now, because there's been so much rhetoric out there and not a lot of specifics, Obama has to deliver the specifics. I think whatever it is, it has to be a list of something. It can't just be flowery language. We need health care for everybody. It's Americans that, you know, we have Americans that aren't insured and blah, 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 blah. It can't be all that kind of stuff. It's gotta be very specific. So they must be working on this certainly right now. Obama's gonna meet House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid at the White House next week to talk about the speech, because you know that Nancy Pelosi has put her foot down and said, no public option, no way are we on board with this. And it seems as though Obama is willing to throw out the public option. Because the Democratic proposals right now, as they stand in both the House and the Senate, are withering big time, dying on the vine, with some pretty fierce opposition from the town halls, from the GOP, obviously the Republicans, the opinion polls. His opinion polls show that show that everybody's pretty much divided on this issue, and the approval ratings for the president in the tank in the last couple of weeks, especially that's when we've seen him really take a nosedive. So people who are extremely liberal, they want theirs, and they're saying, okay, now Obama needs to cut the crap. I talked to somebody today about this. Forget extending any kind of an olive branch. Screw it. Put it through and have the public option on it and everyone else be damned. But I don't think he's going to do that. I think what's going to be discussed is not even the public option. I think what's going to be discussed is insurance reforms would be number one, and the costs. And then cutting across maybe cutting across the state lines. In other words, you can get insured all over the place. It doesn't have to be a state by state by state thing. Therefore, there would be more competition. And if you can't afford it, a better chance that you could afford it. Now, the critics will say, well, that's okay. So you can't afford it. Now, suddenly you can afford some insurance. But what happens when you have to have some procedure done and then you still can't afford to pay for it because of the level that you're insured? So we'll see. In the meantime, every talking head available on the Hill is speaking to somebody, including Congressman Mike Pence. I actually like this guy, a Republican out of Indiana. And first, he talked about basically, is it even possible to have health care reform? And then really, what's the deal? What are the Republicans, or at least the majority of Republicans, pushing? Because don't forget, the Republicans are saying, look, there is reform to be had. It's just not in this public option. The main thing is the public option now, or anything akin to the single payer, won't work. So here's Mike Pence.
Do I think health care reform is dead, Joe?
Yes.
I hope not. I really believe that we ought to take some bipartisan action to lower the cost of health insurance and to lower the cost of health care. But I hope that the plan, the Democrats' initiative on Capitol Hill to introduce a government plan, a public option that would result in a government takeover of health care paid for with about $800 billion in higher taxes is dead. And judging from the town hall meetings I've had in Indiana and what we've seen around the country, I think there are millions of Americans who don't want to see a public option, don't want to see a government takeover. You know, Republicans believe that in addition to tort reform, what we ought to do is allow Americans to purchase health insurance the way that members of Congress can, the way that all federal employees can, and that is to buy health insurance across state lines, to get out there and allow new insurance products to be created in a new competitive marketplace. You know, allowing for nationwide health insurance products to be created and allow people to be choosy shoppers in a truly competitive market, that plus some responsible malpractice reform, and I think you're pretty far away down the road toward curing what ails health insurance and health care in this country.
All right, so you heard what Mike Pence said. It's, again, that insurance reform, and this is something that should have been done a long time ago, and that's the problem. It's like Medicare. If things had been fixed in the beginning, would Medicare, and this is a government program, would Medicare be going broke? I know they're two different things. Obviously, the insurance guys, they want to make more money, so they don't want to have a bunch of claims. And then, of course, how much are you covered for, and ultimately, what are you charged for, and then the pre-existing condition thing, and we know certainly all of that. Here's the scoop. We're split evenly, pretty much, over whether to support or oppose the health care plan. This is the latest poll by CNN Opinion. You know, they actually do a pretty good job on their polls. There's a lot of polls out there. They say 6 in 10 younger Americans support the plan. Not a surprise. 6 in 10 senior citizens oppose it. And you can see that at the town hall meetings. And what the Democrats keep saying is the most vocal people are organized, and they don't reflect the general public. Republicans say the costly health care proposals are scaring people already concerned about expanded government and, of course, the whole increased spending thing, which you heard Congressman Pence mention, that, you know, ultimately, what does that mean? You know, you look at the economic stimulus package and then the federal bailouts of the car companies and the banks, and where are we? We keep going back to the money, the money, the money. And I just think that ultimately, here's what could happen. I mean, if it doesn't happen, if it doesn't go down this way, the problem, I keep coming back to this because it's not really addressed. Maybe Obama, we'll see what Obama says next week, but small businesses that are barely breaking even, barely affording to keep their doors open and trying to do it. I'm not saying companies that are thriving and they have X amount of employees, only a handful. They can't give health insurance, or they barely can give health insurance. They'd be crippled if they were forced to do that. Then, of course, there's other people who don't want to pay for any kind of, even if it was affordable, they don't want to pay for health care because they feel like, hey, I'm 25, I'm invincible, I don't need any kind of health care coverage, I'll roll the dice because I want more beer money. I mean, it really, that's what it comes down to. So not everybody wants the coverage, but regardless of that, if you're going to have taxes go through the roof, and if it's going to kill jobs in small businesses, then you're killing people's livelihoods at a time when the economy is in the toilet, and it doesn't look as though, even if we're seeing a little glimmer out there, talk to people who are out of work. Talk to people who can't find any jobs. Talk to people that go and apply for a Starbucks job just to have something to do because they feel their self-esteem is so, you know, battered around after looking for jobs. And, you know, the people that post jobs say they get outrageous amounts of people to apply for one or two jobs. It really, really, truly is pretty bad. Depending on the state, California the worst, and certainly Nevada, at least Las Vegas, terrible as well. And, you know, you can't find a job, you can't find a job, and you're relying on these extended unemployment benefits, and it's a tough road to hoe. So nobody wants to see the taxes go up, and nobody wants to see the small businesses, I don't think, really get smacked between the eyes, because you'll have more job loss, and that's the thing. So let's see if there is any kind of bipartisan cooperation. I mean, maybe I'm dead wrong, but certainly in getting elected, the people who really pushed for Obama, and then let's say the people who are extremely liberal, have to be disappointed. Because once again, in the eyes of somebody who's liberal, the president would be pandering to the pressure of the town hall meetings and the conservatives and all of that, and not giving the people who elected them what they think they were getting, what they think they deserve, which is his version of the health care, the public option. But we keep coming back to the same thing. If you want that kind of health care coverage, you just have to look at other countries. Yes, we are a nation that has much more resources than some of the other places that we're mentioning, but we're going to have those wait times. And ultimately, it's going to come down to the same thing. If you have extra insurance, if you have more do-re-mi, you're going to get the bed over the guy who has just the handout card. It's the way it is. How is that going to change? I don't see it. You may have a different thought. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Speaking of that, I'm going to tell you about Medicare next, and the real blunder over wheelchairs. Like I said at the top, now you wonder why they're going broke. Stay around.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
This is absolutely, hands down, the blunder of the day. So check this out. I happened to catch it on one of the cable stations, and I was stunned. I guess I shouldn't have been stunned, but do you know that Medicare pays four times what a wheelchair would cost for most suppliers? Yeah, you know, the power-driven wheelchairs. So that's what happens. Medicare and the people who are the beneficiaries, of course, they're paying way over the top. A standard power wheelchair costs the federal health insurance program for seniors about $4,000 to lease, right? You compare that to just over $1,000 for suppliers to buy. Yeah. You know, the Department of Health and Human Services, they have that internal watchdog, so they reported that. And, Medicare and the folks that benefit as a result pay suppliers an average of almost $3,000 beyond the supplier's acquisition costs to perform an average of 5 services and cover the general business costs. Ugh, sickening to read. Sickening. Because then you have to look at the lease, too. So somebody who's rehabbing the physical rehabilitation patients, the lease is almost $12,000, but that's twice, more than twice what you would have to deal with a lease from these suppliers. So you've got 173,000 Medicare folks getting power wheelchairs, let's say, because this is what it said in the report, in the first half of 2007. So that's a cost of $686 million. That cost could have been reduced considerably in half if they had done the bidding correctly and they had had competitive bidding for what would be classified as durable medical equipment. Wheelchairs, oxygen tanks, and all that sort of stuff. So it would have cut the average cost of the wheelchair. That's incredible to me. What a huge blunder. How do the folks in Minneapolis feel? Yeah.
Outrageous.
Of course. And it's always this way, too, right? There's a group called the American Association for Home Care, and they basically represent a lot of the people, the manufacturers in the what they call the durable equipment industry, and they say the bidding program would reduce patients' choices and limit access to home medical care and then, of course, drive up Medicare costs by having more hospital stays. Well, is that so? Why can't you have competitive bids for wheelchairs? Because they want to make more money is the answer, and they've been able to bilk the government because they're too stupid to have the competitive bids and to make that happen. It's outrageous. So here we are. They're trying to overhaul the U.S. healthcare system and at the same time figure out a way to keep Medicare from going broke. So many of you called in the other night to talk about, oh, you know, $94 and a couple of cents, and this is what I pay. And it's really, really a good program. I can see how for some people it could be scary if they don't have the right one. Can you imagine? So you might be worried about losing your Medicare. Well, with idiots like this running the system, I mean, who's in charge of this? They don't have the competitive bids. I'm sorry, because the group says, oh, no. Geez, that wouldn't be good. I mean, I guess if I ran that company, I would say the same thing, because when I look at my ledger, I'm laughing all the way to the bank to see what I'm charging everybody else and what the government is paying. That's just absolutely crazy. Just crazy. Medicare's annual budget, by the way, for 2008, $444 billion. In January, they cut payments to suppliers by almost 10% to make up for what they thought competitive bidding would have saved taxpayers, right? So, you know, this whole thing with the motorized chair right there, there's something that you could have saved serious cash on. There's no reason that didn't happen. No reason, right? So the competitive bidding was the way to go. That would have put more money back in the bank for Medicare. Or at least it wouldn't have put Medicare in the situation of teetering on bankruptcy, and so many people saying, well, remember Obama said this in one of his speeches. Well, what if you had the system, like, it would be similar to Medicare, except for Medicare is probably going away because you already messed that one up. Washington already screwed that up. Hey, speaking of money, and I mentioned this from the get-go too, of course, in California, now they're trying to investigate and figure out what started the fire. Could be a cigarette, could be a spark from maybe a lawnmower, but there's no definitive here's what happened. Last time around, it was, okay, the drug cartel set this fire. They were doing something, and the fire was started, and they've run off into the wilderness, never to be found, so watch out. They could be in your backyard. This is a different one. This is a different ball game. You have 140,000 plus acres and counting burning. I mean, Californians are so anxious right now. So many are not back in their homes. They were evacuated, and they're just watching around them. As we had Valerie Faltus on a previous show, who was a former L.A. County tax assessor, and she was telling us that they were watching the fires in the foothills, not really that far away. So now comes, well, what's the price tag for this so far? Because remember, they're still fighting this. Right now, as of right now, the state of California has spent $21 million fighting this fire in the Angeles National Forest. Yeah. They got a budget crunch going on. They're talking about releasing prisoners because they can't do anything with them. I mean, the medical care is so horrendous, I guess, in the prisons, but they're so overcrowded, and it would save money. So what do we do? Because we have a $23 billion deficit. And, you know, hey, they've got money available to fight the fires because, hey, public safety. They have to. That has to be the top priority. So no matter what, they had a reserve. Remember, this was one thing that he insisted that they have. So they have a $500 million reserve for emergencies like earthquakes, fires, whatever. But so far this year, the entire state of California has had 5,000 fires. So 21 firefighters have been injured, and two killed in fighting this fire that we've been talking about. 10,000 homes, 500 commercial properties, 2,000 other structures, all still threatened right now as of very late Wednesday, California time, Pacific time. Got 103 degree temperatures, and this doesn't help again. While they saw a dip, now they're starting to see it go the other way. They're looking at Pasadena and Arcadia and Sierra Madre and some other places in the direction that the fire might be moving and trying to do whatever they can. I mean, the fire retardant gel, they're dropping that. They're trying to do whatever they can around the communications towers, the 50 radio and TV stations, and which is Mount Wilson. And again, as I said, still unclear as to what caused the fire, although it looks like it was caused by, you know, man-made. Whether it was somebody errantly throwing a cigarette and not thinking about it, or, as I mentioned before, someone mowing a lawn. They've ruled out the car spark thing and a few other deals as well. But, of course, that's the other thing that they're doing, trying to trace how did this happen. How do we get yet another one of these, and unfortunately at such a great cost to the people and to the state of California? As always, you can flip me an email, americatonight.net.